I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
He's coming to see me. I'm not sure what he wants to see me about, but I guess he wants to make a deal. Everybody does. They all want to make a deal because we have something that they all want.
Yeah, there's the president talking about the Canadian prime minister flying in. I don't know what he wants to talk about. I guess he wants to make a deal. And this is, of course, the guy that was pretty critical of President Trump upon his party taking power last week. Welcome back into the show. Mark Cox here along with Kim St. Ange and Ethan Bright here on the board this morning. And we're going to get to Ryan Wiggins at the bottom of the hour. And I'm going to talk more about this Social Security Fairness Act and some new information I found out about it coming up in just a few minutes. But speaking of people who want deals, the president also wants a big, beautiful bill, and we're fortunate enough to have Chad Pergram from Fox News up on Capitol Hill this morning with more on that. Chad, welcome back.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great to have you. So we keep hearing about this thing. We keep hearing maybe Memorial Day, which is, what, 3 weeks away now.
Uh-huh.
Where do things stand?
Well, the House Speaker, Mike Johnson, he just talked to President Trump about this last night. It's funny who you talk to up here. I talked to one very conservative member who has their pulse on the Republican conference and said, oh, this is going to be easier than doing the framework just a couple of weeks ago. And I said, easier? He said, yeah, because now there's trust. Then I went and talked to a moderate member who said, oh, no, we're nowhere near getting this done. And Mike Johnson just yesterday started to crack the door open just a little bit on trying to say, all right, there might be a little bit of slippage here. There was one senior source I spoke to last week who said, we will stay here until it's done. And I think what they will ultimately get to is whatever can pass. Again, if they're able to do certain tax cuts, able to do certain spending, whatever that cocktail looks like, that's what they will try to pass, because that's only the traffic that the street can bear. And you always hear me say it, it's all about the math.
Yeah, it's true. I just don't think most people appreciate the complexity of what this has to look like. Is that right? Do they have to look out 10 years and they have to make sure if they cut here, they add here? I mean, it has to balance out.
It has to be budget neutral. That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. And that's the challenge when you're cutting these taxes this deeply. And that's why there's a conflict between some conservatives and some moderate Republicans, especially from high tax states like New York and Pennsylvania and New Jersey, who they want something called, and you're going to hear a lot about this in the next few days, SALT, which stands for state and local taxes. And there are reductions in that. And that's something that that President Trump and the Congress essentially canceled last time around. Now, the one thing that President Trump has going for him that he did not have going for him in 2017. Remember, they had the failed effort to repeal and replace Obamacare. They did get that tax bill through, is that Republicans, almost to a fault, are behind him. And ultimately, that's why they were able to advance those frameworks to get to this stage in this process. And that might save the day for the president at the end of the process. That's a very different Republican relationship with President Trump in 2017. That group kind of looked askance, congressional Republicans did, at President Trump. Now, this is basically, it's just not the Republican Congress. It is the President Trump Congress.
So all the Congress members you've spoken with so far seem very set on making sure something passes. It's just a matter of what that bill looks like. No, has there really been any talk of passing a CR, this continuing resolution that they time and again have defaulted to?
Well, that's a completely different issue. That's apples and oranges. That would be to fund the government. And the government is funded right now mainly because of Chuck Schumer breaking down and saying, all right, I think it would be worse to have a government shutdown. That was what they did back in March. So the government is funded until the end of September. So that's going to be another fight that they'll have to work out. But this
totally separate
issues are not connected.
Okay.
The one issue that might be connected to this is the debt ceiling. They have to raise the debt ceiling. They probably have to do that sometime in the next, it could be as early as later this month if they get bad reports from the Treasury Department. It could be the end of the summer, but that's probably going to be folded into this bill. And you might have conservatives who have never before voted for a debt ceiling increase be willing to do that if they get cuts. And back to your point about the CR, the continuing resolution, you had conservatives who never before had voted for, you know, just a Band-Aid spending bill, vote for that bill back in March. And why? Because President Trump wanted it. And so that's where I keep coming back to this point that his power and his influence over these Republicans in Congress, it's very different than it used to be about 8 years ago.
That's true. Chad Pergram, our guest this morning up on the Capitol Hill. Back to the salt issue for a minute, because there are probably people here in fairly low tax Missouri who don't appreciate this. But, you know, if your property tax on your house is $10,000 for the year, that falls below the deduction line. But in some of these high tax states, like you mentioned, New Jersey, hell, maybe they're around Washington. I would assume the taxes are higher.
Yes.
There's a cap on what you can deduct, right?
Yes. And that was changed back in that 2017 tax law. And that took a lot of heat, you know, from the Republicans. And some of these Republicans are like, if I don't get a substantial fix for this for my state, Republicans from New Jersey, Pennsylvania, New York, maybe some other places, they're like, I'm going to get just hammered at the polls. And that's just one of these issues. If you don't get hammered there, they say they're not going to cut Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. When you look at the money that is available in those areas and the, you know, just how high the figure is of what they want to cut, that's the only way you have to get into those programs in some form. And again, a cut versus reform is in the eye of the beholder, so we can debate that when you want. But, you know, again, depending on how that is interpreted, that's going to be a lot of vulnerabilities. Josh Hawley, your own senator from Missouri, you know, I talked to him just a couple of days ago and used him in a piece, and he said, if we cut, and he says, and he specifically used the word cut, if we cut Medicaid, Medicare, he said, we will never again be in the majority. He said that would be a catastrophic, his term, disaster for the Republicans.
Wow. Chad Pergram, great as always, my friend. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Yeah, great having you on. One of the most knowledgeable people in D.C. about what's happening up there. There's no doubt about it. Okay, speaking of dealing with the government, I got to go deal with the government yesterday. I got to go to the Social Security Administration office and learn something brand new that I want to impart to you. And I will get around to that right after this break. We'll be right back.
Too early to learn that the government is a greedy piglet that suckles on a taxpayer's teat until they have sore, chapped nipples.
Yeah, one of my all-time favorites there, and you know that if you've listened to this show for any length of time. So here's what I would beg of you for a moment. Just stick with me here. Have you heard of the windfall elimination provision? I talked about this, what, maybe a month ago, Kim?
Yeah.
And this deals with the Social Security Fairness Act. I do this for a living. I follow news stories and things that they pass up in D.C., and this one floated completely under my nose, under my radar, I just have to say. In January of 2024, so in the third year of his presidency, Biden signed some big omnibus bill or something that included the Social Security Fairness Act. And basically what this does is it says that if you were in public service and you draw a pension, whether that's a teacher's pension, you've worked for a government agency of some sort and you draw a government pension of some sort, maybe a state retirement fund, something like that, you would not be eligible for Social Security. Even if you paid enough quarters into it to deserve it, you can't get both. That's what the windfall elimination provision did when it passed back in the 90s. And I guess my guess is enough union complaints came in that the Biden administration, the Democrats, passed this provision that eliminates the windfall elimination provision. So the Social Security Fairness Act did away with that law. And my mother, who's a retired teacher, started hearing a while back of all of her friends starting to receive Social Security benefits and back pay. And she asked me to look into it for her. Well, fast forward to yesterday, it took me 3.5 hours to get Social Security to call us back. We finally got them on the phone. They couldn't help us. So they had to make us go into the office, and I dreaded this with every fiber in my body, having to go into this office and deal with the Social Security Administration. I rolled my mother in there yesterday in her little assist chair, and we sat and we talked to this kid. Couldn't have been a more pleasant experience. I just got to tell you, I was really surprised. First of all, there was no wait. We walked in at our scheduled time over there in Creve Coeur, and we went right up to the window, and the guy helped us. He was very helpful. So here's the deal. Now, my mother's been retired from teaching since 1992. She's been retired a long time. She was not eligible for Social Security. She never paid into the system, but my father did. My father had passed away 13 years ago, right? Coming up on 14 years. And she is, under this law, is now eligible to receive his Social Security benefit at whatever it is today, because, of course, it's more today than it would have been 13 years ago because of cost of living increases and all that. So moving forward, now that we've got all of her stuff in the system, she'll start getting, I don't know, $2,300 a month.
Oh, my gosh.
In addition to her teacher's pension, which is, you know, another $25,000 a year. I mean, it's incredible for her. She also gets back pay for that amount dating back to January 4th of 2024. So my message for you this morning is, I think this is the most insane thing I've ever heard, because as a taxpayer, I don't know how our Social Security system, which is already going broke, can afford to pay this money out. That said, I'm glad mom's going to get a check for 30 plus grand, right? That's the back pay portion of it. Social Security is going to transfer this money into her account for the back pay, and then moving forward, we'll start sending her $2,300 a month. Think about that. So that affects every retired teacher or state government worker out there who's had a spouse who paid into Social Security and passed away. They're now eligible to go back and get their spouse's Social Security, and it's only backdated for a year. Now, if my father had lived over the past 13 or 14 years, he would have brought in about $250,000 in Social Security money, which my mother never got. So it's not like it's leveling the field and making up for all the money she lost, but they are allowing you to backdate it to January 4th of 2024 when it passed. So she's going to get 14 months of back pay.
Wow.
And then she's going to get the payment going forward. How do you feel about that?
Well, I'm a little surprised they're doing this. Are they just hoping that people won't realize this is even a thing?
Well, there's been no publicity for it.
Well, that's what I mean. That maybe that's intentional. That they did something that they felt like was trying to make things just in their mind for all of these people who had spouses who didn't work in education who were eligible. But they don't want to talk about it too much, where everyone's going to rush out there and start applying for this and get, you know, these massive checks.
Here's what you got to tell mom or dad, right? This is my action item for you today. It's the law. You're not cheating anybody by taking advantage of it. If you've got a family member or you know somebody who's a retired teacher who lost their spouse, they're going to be eligible for this. Or if you know somebody who, because teachers, many of them get a couple months off in the summer, work a summer job, and they have enough quarters paid into Social Security, they can now go draw that. So they'll be eligible upon retirement age of drawing that Social Security pension.
That's huge.
It's huge.
It's funny that it was your
mom's extra $25,000 a year.
Massive.
It's massive.
The fact that your mom's friends who were collecting these big checks, it's just kind of ironic that that was how she discovered this was even a thing. And then you have to wonder, well, how did they figure out about
Thank
this?
Thank you. It has spread like wildfire among the retired teacher set. They're all out there.
They're all mom sitting there playing cards.
Mom,
did you hear?
My mom says, Jenny told me that a friend of hers got $35,000 from Social Security. And I'm like, Mom, that must have been a fluke, because I didn't know what she was talking about. So I look it up, and sure enough, I find out about this thing. Why it hasn't gotten more publicity, I don't know. She lives in independent living. I went to the director of her building, and I'm like, are you aware of this? And she goes, I've never heard of that.
Mark,
I'm
you're
like,
going to be invited to go speak to that
I'm
independent
like,
living
you,
facility.
You should hold a meeting
yeah.
and inform people. But she goes, we have a lot of retired teachers who live here. Most of them have lost their spouse. And I'm like, they need to know about this. They could get a $25,000 a year raise like as soon as it can be processed by Social Security.
It does sound like it's a little bit complicated. So they would almost need, though, someone like you, a child or a loved one, to be able to walk them through that process.
You've got to get somebody who can deal with Social Security and navigate this for you. It's not every teacher, but for people who had a spouse who died, who did pay into Social Security, or who worked a second job maybe before they became a teacher, had enough quarters to qualify for Social Security, they can now go back and claim those benefits. State teachers, I would imagine state workers' pensions would qualify as well. So here's the funny thing. We're driving back home yesterday from our meeting, and my mom says to me,
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
So they're going to transfer all that money into my bank account and then give me a check each month? And I'm like, yeah. And she goes, how can they afford that?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, because people like me who are still working, paying into Social Security for as long as it lasts. And hopefully someday some politician will have the balls to fix the system so that it doesn't go bankrupt before I can draw it. That's my take on it. Ryan Wiggins coming up.
You know, he's coming to see me. I'm not sure what he wants to see me about, but I guess he wants to make a deal. Everybody does. They all want to make a deal because we have something that they all want.
Wiggins!
Ryan Wiggins, and we have him actually by phone this morning. I would assume stuck in traffic over there in Illinois somewhere. Ryan, how are you?
Good. I'm not actually in traffic. I just had to. I had to do phone today.
That's okay. No big deal, my friend. We're glad we got you. So I play that bite because the Canadian Prime Minister talks a big game. Like when he first got elected, he claimed that America was his enemy and they're not our friend anymore and we can't depend on them and we're going to fight them and we're going to learn to be independent. And now he's flying to D.C. with I assume, a case of maple syrup to beg forgiveness.
Man, I don't know what Mark Carney is doing. These guys, they're in bad shape. I mean, I don't know that Trump intended to just hurt them. I think he was just trying to reset the negotiation table, which he absolutely has done, but they're flailing. I mean, Canada can't figure out which way to go because they have relied on the United States for so many things for so long. And the minute we say, hey, we're going to have something in return, they have freaked out and elected a guy who's not going to solve the problem.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing about it is we as Americans may well have also been played by the Labour Party in Canada because their faux outrage over what Trump is doing led them to retain power, whereas without that argument, the conservative, and I don't know how conservative anybody is in Canada, but the Conservative Party might very well have won that election. And they played that very well to talk a big game, and now all this guy's got to do is try to fix it.
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, politically, to stay in power, he said the right things. The problem is Canada has lost its way so badly. I mean, you think it was bad in the United States during COVID. I mean, we definitely lost some rights, and it was chiseled away. But in Canada, it was like it was borderline China. And there's a movement actually right now. I didn't even think about this until I said that they call themselves the Western Alliance because they're like, look, our country isn't even acting like a Western country anymore. We want to be this, the conservative movement. They're calling themselves the Western Alliance now,
which is suggesting what, secession from Canada?
Yeah, so that's the big thing that's happening in Alberta. Although Saskatchewan is now looking at it too. These are the provinces that are basically north of Montana, and they have a lot more in common with Montana and the Dakotas than they do with Quebec and Vancouver. Although Vancouver is a little bit more conservative than Quebec. But Alberta has now passed I don't know what you'd call it there. It's not a referendum because it's a something to get to a referendum, that they have lowered the threshold for secession, or at least a referendum on secession, to just 177,000 signatures, which is pretty easy to get to. And in fact, they, as of today, they were just about there already after the election, which is just a week ago.
Wow.
And so it used to be 600,000 signatures they'd have to get. Now it's only 177, and they can do it over 120 days. Well, they're definitely going to get there. So the question becomes, what is Alberta going to do? Are they going to actually secede? Because then it gets a little murky as to how secession would work, but they're definitely moving forward with it.
Ryan, I'm sure you've been following the news where the Trump administration came out and said, we'll offer these illegals $1,000 to self-deport and we'll get them out of here. As soon as you can confirm that you've actually landed in that particular country, out of the United States, we'll give you that money. And then it gives you the opportunity to come back. Kind of get curious to get your take on how effective you think that will be. How many of these illegals will take up that offer?
Well, I don't know. I think it's going to be people who are already maybe planning on it, and this just pushes it to go a little bit faster. So in that sense, I'm not sure that it's going to have the effect that we think of lots of people going, oh, my gosh, I'm going to get on that money train. You know, $1,000 isn't exactly life-changing money. But I also just – and look, there's a split on this in conservative land. A lot of people saying this is a great plan. It's going to save taxpayers money. If it works, that's true. Because it's $17,000 to track down and deport somebody, right, versus what they say is about $4,000 if they take this, including the plane flight. But I just don't like the idea in general of stimulus packages for people who broke the law. You know, I mean, the flight is one thing, but an extra stipend, I'm just not a fan of going down that road.
Self-deport in the next 30 days and you can be on the receiving end of an Apple Watch. I feel like we're going to start seeing more and more of these benefits thrown at them, like the sooner they get the heck out of our country.
Yeah, like the vaccine.
Yeah, you get like a free donut or something like that if you, you get vaccinated.
Right. Yeah, I don't love it.
I was just trying to do the exchange right there of the pesos, like 5 cents on the dollar. So it still wouldn't be a bad deal if you were going to go home and get $1,000 in your pocket. It's going to go a long way at home.
Oh, sure. U.S. dollars are definitely preferred.
Yeah, right.
But I still just don't like the extra incentive there.
Is it 1,000 pesos? I guess I'd have to give $1,000.
$1,000. You can buy a lot of pesos with that. Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Ryan, back to the secession thing for a minute. I was reading up on this a little bit about Alberta and Saskatchewan since they're the ones that have talked about separation. And it's not the first time. They talked about this back in 2019. Here's my question. Would they separate from Canada and want to become part of the United States, like the 51st state, as Trump has suggested?
So maybe. There's a number of ways this could go, because the first referendum would just be on secession. The second one that's being proposed that would immediately follow would be, should we join the United States in some way or another? Because they could just become an independent nation. Here's what's interesting about this whole thing, is that this would not have been possible before 1998. And look, there's a lot of legal that's going to go into this. They're probably using it as a bargaining chip as much as anything. So it's possible that they never actually leave, but they could. And because of this 1998 Supreme Court ruling in Canada that made it easier, not for Alberta and Saskatchewan, they were focused on Quebec at the time because it's French speaking. And Quebec has tried to leave Canada several times. They've never quite gotten there, but they've always considered themselves somewhat separate. So because the laws are favored to Quebec being, you know, possible to secede, Alberta is taking advantage of that with Canadian law and saying, oh yeah, well then we'll do it. So it's a pretty interesting game of chess that they're playing, and it actually could happen. It's just that it'll take a little more time than I think we all would be willing to watch.
I got to be honest with you. If I thought that was going to happen, I would fly to Alberta today, just north of Montana, and buy 10,000 acres, because the value of that land is going to shoot through the roof if they do that.
Oh, absolutely.
Could live there in that pristine wilderness and still be part of the United States, it would increase their land value tenfold.
100%. I mean, it's just like people have done, you know, like Bill Gates has bought up half of Montana. You know, that would be the land grab in Alberta if that happened.
Their
quality of life is actually pretty high already. So, because they have so many natural resources, and they're fairly conservative, so they don't have as strict of tax laws and stuff there. So,
eye-opening, my friend. Ryan, thank you. Remind people they can listen to Wiggins America.
7 to 8 Saturday morning, 7 to 8 Sunday evening.
Outstanding. Wiggins, we'll see you a little later today. Thanks.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, see you later. Ryan Wiggins there. That's pretty good. All right, coming up here in a few minutes, we've got an opportunity. I've discovered an opportunity that even yesterday I poo-pooed the idea on this very show. But I'm going to tell you why I'm doing a little bit of an about face and see what you think about it. We'll be back right after this. But leave my channel up over here. This is what that has evolved into about 40 years later. Yeah, David Lee Roth showed up at the M3 Festival this week. He came out of retirement. Apparently, he retired about 5 years ago, but he has come out of retirement, and it was announced yesterday that he's going on tour. And St. Louis is on his calendar.
Yes.
He's going to be at the Factory on August 25th, and I am seriously entertained buying tickets. As bad as it sounds like the band he's got backing him up is awesome, and his set list is only old school Van Halen.
He should have stayed in retirement.
He probably should have. But and I'll argue this to my wife when I tell her I'm going to buy tickets. We may never get to hear him again because his voice is so bad, I don't think he's ever going to sing again after this.
It goes back to this whole notion of these bands or artists coming out saying, this is the last tour. No, this is the final tour. The final tour. And then everyone runs out and spends all this money on tickets because they're worried this will be the last time they'll ever hear them.
I wish they could just give me some indication or security that he will not wear those leather pants at the event here in St. Louis, because he was smuggling sausage, and nobody needs to see that on a 70-year-old man. They just don't need to see that.
I thankfully have not seen that picture.
He's Diamond Dave.
What is it about this whole thing of the final? Like, I have to see him one more time. There's something about that human nature where we feel like because it's the last time, we have to go see it.
I mean,
we're willing to spend
all
this
marketing.
Money.
Part of
well,
that
I know
is,
it's very effective.
Part of that's marketing. He's not playing Hollywood Casino because he couldn't draw that kind of crowd. He's not playing Enterprise. Not even playing the Family Arena. He's playing at the Factory,
which can still hold
most,
a few thousand. But
most people they can fit in there is just under 2,000. I think it's 1,700 or 1,800. I think it's just under 2,000. But regardless, he's coming, and because I love all Van Halen, Sammy Hagar and David Lee Roth, I'm probably going to spend the money to go see it.
I'm just saying, if you were told, not just this artist, but anyone, it's like, this is the final time
they're going to be going on tour.
You know how many people would fall for that and say, well, then I'm willing to spend an extra $300 because this will be the last time I can see my favorite artist.
I got fooled in 1982. I got fooled again. The Who said this is our final tour in 1982. And I bought tickets in Lexington and I bought tickets in Louisville. And I saw them in both shows thinking I'd never see them again. And they're still touring today.
Of course.
Well, they were anyway. I don't know. Roger's going deaf. So I don't know if they're doing that anymore or not. But anyway.
You got people like Willie Nelson, who's 90. So it may be his final tour when he comes
to St. Louis. David,
so.
I after listening to him the other night, I thought to myself, there is no way I would pay to see that again. But now that the concert's going to be here and at the Factory, I'm seriously thinking I'm going to buy tickets. I sent that message to a couple of my concert-going buddies last night, and they have both declined to attend with me.
What? People like watching car wrecks, you know? I mean, same thing.
But it's still going to be great Van Halen music, even if he just talks through most of it. He talks through most of it now. Just saying.
It's all lounge singing for him now. It's so bad.
Oh, and my buddy pointed out, one of my police officer friends reached out about this Social Security Fairness Act. He said it's going to benefit a lot of police officers as well, because they'll retire with a public pension, but they've always worked seconds over the years and paid into Social Security, and they were never able to draw that in many cases. And now they would be able to, now that this Fairness Act is in.
Well, so good. Would like firefighter, other first responders
sure.
be grouped
I would,
in well, that
if
as
they,
well?
If they're in a pension system, that's a state pension system, absolutely they would. All right, that's going to do it for us. You know what that music means. Brian Kilmeade is coming up shortly. We'll have Annie Fry in here a little later today, the Mark Reardon Show, 3 to 6. And Annie and Ethan and Susan and I will see you back here tomorrow morning about 5 a.m.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.